Fella, sit down. Sit down.
Good morning.
That was under instruction from us, and that it wasn't. It was instructed so by the Attorney General, consistent with your press conference statement, that no further raw data was to be turned over to the full committee. And that was the extent of it. And Gray himself is the one who reached the conclusion that no more information be turned over. He turned over enough. So this is, again, Pat Gray making decisions on his own as to how to handle his hearings. He has been totally unwilling all along to take any guidance, any instruction. We don't know what he's going to do. He's not going to talk about it. He won't review it. And I don't think he does it to harm you in any way, sir.
He's just quite stubborn. And he's quite stubborn. Also, he's just very smart. You know what I mean?
He's
full-headed. Smart in his own way. But he's got that typical...
That's why he thinks he'll be confirmed, because he thinks he's being his own man, he's being forthright, honest, he feels he's turned over too much, and so it's a conscious decision that he is harming the Bureau by doing this, and so he's not going to.
I hope that God will take it off, later on, because the White House told him to do this rather than trying to name. And also,
Sam Ervin has made that point himself. In fact, in reading the transcript of Gray's hearings, Ervin tried to hold Gray back from doing what he was doing at the time he did it. I thought it was very unwise. I don't think that anyone is criticizing your position.
Let's make the point. Let's make the point that the raw files cannot be handled. Well, I mean, that point should be made. We are saying the rights of Americans will be used against you or against you because the tradition then will continue to be the tradition. All files are, I think, in general, well, with somebody I'd like to get a chance to inspire to put it out. You just have to wait and let them see what is in one.
How damage is
any further word on Sullivan?
He's going to be over to see me today, this morning, hopefully, sometime. The reason I thought we ought to talk this morning is because in our conversations, I have the impression that you don't know everything I know, and it makes it very difficult for you to make judgments that only you can make on some of these things, and I thought that...
You guys, in other words, I've got to know why you feel
Let me give you my overall first.
Your judgment as to where it stands.
I think that there's no doubt about the seriousness of the problem we've got. We have a cancer within, close to the presidency, that's growing. It's growing daily. It's compounding. It grows geometrically now because it compounds itself. That'll be clear as I explain, some of the details of why it is. And it basically is because, one, we're being blackmailed. Two, people are going to start perjuring themselves very quickly that have not had to perjure themselves to protect other people and the like. And that is just, and there's no assurance that won't bust. So let me give you the sort of basic facts, talking first about the Watergate, and then about Segretti, and about some of the peripheral items that have come up. First of all, on the Watergate, how did it all start? Where did it start? It started with an instruction to me from Bob Holliman to see if we couldn't set up a perfectly legitimate campaign intelligence operation over at the Re-Election Committee. Not being in this business, I turned to somebody who had been in this business, Jack Caulfield, who was I don't know if you remember Jack or not. He was your original bodyguard before they had Canada Protection, an old New York City policeman. Jack had worked for John and then was transferred to my office. And I said, Jack, come up with a plan that, you know, the normal infiltration and, you know, buying information from secretaries and all that sort of thing. He did. He put together a plan, just kicked around, and I went to Ehrlichman with it, went to Mitchell with it, and the consensus was that Caulfield wasn't the man to do this. In retrospect, that might have been a bad call, because he is an incredibly cautious person and wouldn't have put the situation to where it is today. All right, after rejecting that, I said, we still need something. So I was told to look around for somebody that could go over to 1701 and do this. And that's when I came up with Gordon Liddy, who they needed a lawyer. Gordon had an intelligence background from his FBI service. I was aware of the fact that he had done some extremely sensitive things for the White House while he'd been at the White House, and he'd apparently done them well. Going out into Ellsberg's doctor's office and things like this. He'd worked with leaks. He, you know, tracked these things down. And so the report that I got from Crook was that he was a hell of a good man, and not only that, a good lawyer, and could set up a proper operation. So we talked to Liddy. Liddy was interested in doing it. Took Liddy over to meet Mitchell. Mitchell thought highly of him because apparently Mitchell was partly involved in his coming to the White House to work for Crowe. Liddy had been a treasury before that. Then Liddy was told to put together his plan, you know, how he would run an intelligence operation. And this was after he was hired over there at the committee. Magruder called me in January and said, I'd like to have you come over and see Liddy's plan. I said, January of 72. Like, you come over to Mitchell's office and sit in on a meeting where Liddy's going to lay his plan out. I said, well, I don't really know as I'm the man, but if you want me there, I'll be happy to. So I came over, and Liddy laid out a million-dollar plan that was the most incredible thing I have ever laid my eyes on, all in codes and involved black bag operations, kidnapping, providing prostitutes, to weaken the opposition, bugging, mugging teams. It was just an incredible thing.
And
No. And Mitchell just virtually sat there puffing and laughing. I could tell because after Liddy left the office, I said, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. He said, I agree. And so he was told to go back to the drawing board and come up with something realistic. So there was a second meeting. They asked me to come over that. I came into the tail end of the meeting. I wasn't there for the first part of that. I don't know how long the meeting lasted. At this point, they were discussing again, bugging, kidnapping, and the like. And at this point, I said, right in front of everybody, very clearly, I said, these are not the sort of things, one, that are ever to be discussed in the office of the Attorney General of the United States, where he still was. And I'm personally incensed. I'm trying to get Mitchell off the hook, because he's a nice person, doesn't like to say no under when people he's going to have to work with. So I let it be known. I said, you all pack that stuff up and get it the hell out of here, because you just can't talk this way in this office, and you should re-examine your whole thinking. Came back.
You all
it was Magruder, Mitchell, Liddy, and myself. I came back right after the meeting and told Bob. I said, Bob, we got a growing disaster on our hands if they're thinking this way. And I said, the White House has got to stay out of this, and I frankly am not going to be involved in it. He said, I agree, John. And I thought at that point the thing was turned off. That's the last I heard of it, when I thought it was turned off, because it was an absurd proposal. Liddy, I did have dealings with him afterwards. We never talked about it. Now, that would be hard to believe for some people, but we never did. It's just the fact of the matter.
Well, you were talking about other things.
We had so many other things.
He had some legal problems.
Now,
but you were the advisor. I understand. I guess what are the campaign laws? I knew that because you had all been told that you were making all the other laws. Go ahead.
Now, so Liddy went back after that and was over to 1701, the committee, and this is where I come into having put the pieces together after the fact. as to what I can put together of what happened. Liddy sat over there and tried to come up with another plan that he could sell. One, they were talking, saying that he was asking for too much money, and I don't think they were discounting the illegal points at this. After, you know, Jeff is not a lawyer, he didn't know whether this was the way the game was played or not and what it was all about. They came up with apparently another plan, but they couldn't get it approved by anybody over there. So Liddy and Hunt apparently came to see Chuck Colson. And Chuck Colson picked up the telephone and called Magruder and said, "You all either fish or cut bait. This is absurd to have these guys over there and not using them. And if you're not going to use them, I may use them." Things of this nature. This was apparently in February of 72. I can only assume, because of his close relationship with Hunt, he had a damn good idea of what they were talking about. A damn good idea. He would probably deny it today and probably get away with denying it. But I still, unless Hunt blows on it.
But then isn't enough takes too good?
Probably. But Liddy was there also, and if Liddy were to blow.
Well,
I think it was probably Strawn thinking that Bob wanted things. Washington, because I've seen that happen on other occasions where things have been said to be of very prime importance.
I didn't really want to live in China. I'm just trying to think as to why that we just finished the Moscow trip. I mean, we were.
That's right.
Democrats were just nominated as a violent governor. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I mean, what the hell would we. I mean, I can see going forward. I mean, I can see the pressure, but I don't see why all the pressure would have been on them.
I don't know, other than the fact that they might have been looking for information about the conventions. Because I understand also after the fact that there was a plan to bug Larry O'Brien's suite down in Florida. Liddy told me that, you know, this is what had happened and this is why it had happened.
He was planning. Where did he learn there was such a
plan? Beg your pardon?
Where did he learn there were plans to drive O'Brien's suite?
From Magruder, long after the fire. Yeah, Magruder is totally knowledgeable on the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, now, we've gone through the trial. I don't know if Mitchell has perjured himself in the grand jury or not. I've never heard of Mitchell. I don't know how much knowledge he actually had. I know that Magruder has perjured himself in the grand jury. I know that Porter has perjured himself in the grand jury. He's one of Magruder's deputies. That they set up this scenario, which they ran by me. They said, how about this? I said, well, I don't know. If this is what you're going to hang on, fine. But again,
what did they say?
They said, as I said before, the trial and the grand jury, that Liddy had come over as a counsel, and we knew he had these capacities to do legitimate intelligence. We had no idea what he was doing. He was given an authorization of $250,000 to collect information because our surrogates were out on the road. They had no protection. We had information that there were going to be demonstrations against them, that we had to have a plan to get information as to what liabilities they were going to be confronted with, and Liddy was charged with doing this. We had no knowledge that he was going to bug the DNC.
That's untrue.
That's right.
Magruder did know.
Magruder specifically instructed him to go back in the DNC.
He did it?
Yes.
You know
that?
Yeah, I see. Okay.
I honestly believe that no one over here knew that. I know, as God is my maker, I had no knowledge that they were going to do this.
Bob,
I don't believe specifically knew they were going in there. I don't think he did. I think he knew there was a capacity to do this, but he wasn't giving a specific direction.
Strong.
I think Strong did know. All right. So, those people are in trouble as a result of the grand jury and the trial. Mitchell, of course, was never called during the trial. Now,
Mitchell has given a sworn statement.
Yes, sir.
To the
grand jury.
Did he go for it?
We had an arrangement whereby he went down to, with several of the, because it was, you know, the heat of this thing and the implications on the election, we made an arrangement where they could quietly go into the Department of Justice and have one of the assistant U.S. attorneys come over and take their testimony and then read it before the grand jury. That's right. Mitchell was actually called before the grand jury. The grand jury would not settle for less. The jurors wanted him.
And he went.
I don't know what he said, so I've never seen a transcript of the grand jury. Now, what has happened post June 17? Well, I was under pretty clear instructions not really to investigate this, but this is something that just could have been disastrous on the election if it had all hell had broken loose. And I worked on a theory of containment to try to hold it right where it was.
Right.
There's no doubt that I was totally aware what the Bureau was doing at all times. I was totally aware what the grand jury was doing. I knew what witnesses were going to be called. I knew what they were going to be asked. And I had to.
Why did Peterson play the game so straight?
Because Peterson's a soldier. He kept me informed. He told me when we had problems, where we had problems, and the like. He believes in you. He believes in this administration. This administration has made him. I don't think he's done anything improper, but he did make sure the investigation was narrowed down to the very, very fine criminal things, which was a break for us. No doubt about it. They ran that investigation out to the fullest extent they could follow a lead, and that was it.
Colson just talked to indirectly to Hunt about commutation. All these
these things are bad in that they're problems, they're promises, they're commitments. They're the very sort of thing that the Senate's going to be looking most for. I don't think they can find it, frankly.
Pretty hard.
Pretty hard. Damn hard. It's all cash.
Pretty hard as far as witnesses.
That's right. Now, the blackmail is continuing. Hunt called one of the lawyers from the re-election committee on last Friday to meet with him on over the weekend. The guy came in to me, see me, to get a message directly from Hunt to me for the first time.
On bail.
Pardon?
So on bail.
Hunt is on bail. Correct. Hunt now is demanding another $72,000 for his own personal expenses, another $50,000 to pay his attorney's fees, $120-some thousand. Wanted it by the close of business yesterday, because he says, I'm going to be sentenced on Friday, and I've got to be able to get my financial affairs in order. I told this fellow O'Brien, I said, you came to the wrong man, fellow. I'm not involved in money. Don't know a thing about it. I can't help you. He said, you better scramble around elsewhere. Now, O'Brien is a ball player. He's carried tremendous water for us.
He's Hunt's lawyer.
No, he is our lawyer at the re-election committee.
I see.
So he's safe. There's no problem there. But it raises the whole question of Hunt now has made a direct threat against Ehrlichman as a result of this. This is his blackmail. He says, I will bring John Ehrlichman down to his knees and put him in jail. I have done enough seamy things for Ian Krogh. They'll never survive it.
What's that on Ellsberg?
Ellsberg and apparently some other things. I don't know the full extent of it.
What else?
I don't either, and I hate to learn some of these things. So that's that situation. Now, where are the soft points? How many people know about this? Well, let me go one step further in this whole thing. The Cubans that were used in the Watergate were also the same Cubans that Hunt and Liddy used for this California Ellsberg thing, the break-in out there. So they're aware of that. How high their knowledge is something else. Hunt and Liddy, of course, are totally aware of it and the fact that it was right out of the White House.
I don't know what the
hell we
use
it for. I don't either. Mr. President, there have been a couple things around here that I've gotten wind of. There was one time a desire to do a second story job in the Brookings Institute where they had the Pentagon papers. And I flew to California because I was told that John had instructed it, and he said I really hadn't. It's a misimpression, but for Christ's sake, turn it off. And I did. I came back and turned it off because, you know, the risk is minimal and the gain is fantastic. It's something else. But with a low risk and no gain, it's not worth it. Well, who knows about this all now? All right, you've got the Cuban lawyers, a man by the name of Rothblatt, who was a no-good, publicity-seeking son of a bitch, to be very frank with. He's had to be turned down and tuned off. He was canned by his own people because they didn't trust him. They were trying to run a different route than he wanted to run. He didn't want him to plead guilty. He wants to represent him before the Senate. So F. Lee Bailey, who was the partner of one of the men representing McCord, got in and cooled Rothblatt down. So F.B. Bailey has got knowledge. Hunt's lawyer, a man by the name of Ditman, who's an excellent criminal lawyer from the Democratic era of Bobby Kennedy. You've got knowledge.
He's got some. How much?
Well, not only all the direct knowledge that Hunt and Liddy have, as well as all the hearsay they have. You've got the two lawyers over at the re-election committee who did an investigation to find out the facts. Slowly, they got the whole picture. They're solid, but they're...
But they know.
You've got then an awful lot of... All the principals involved know. Some people's wives know.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. Mrs. Hunt was the savviest woman in the world. She had the whole picture together.
Did she?
Yeah, it's... Apparently she was the pillar of strength in that family before the death. And
greatest happiness. The basis of the matter is that even if there was a discussion of things on the problem after his wife, of course, the commutation could be considered on the basis of his wife. That's the only discussion I ever had with anybody.
Right. So that's it. And that's the extent of the knowledge. Now, where are the soft spots on this? Well, for blackmail, which will not only go on now, it'll go on when these people are in prison, and it will compound the obstruction of justice situation. It'll cost money, it's dangerous. Nobody, I think people around here are not pros at this. I mean, this sort of thing mafia people can do. Washing money, getting clean money, and things like that. We just don't know about those things. We're not criminals. We're not used to dealing in that business. It's a tough thing to know how to do. That's right. It's a real problem as to whether we can even do it. Plus, there's a real problem in raising money. Mitchell has been working on raising some money, feeling he's got one of the ones the most to lose. But there's no denying the fact that the White House and Ehrlichman, Hallam, and Dean are involved in some of the early money decisions.
How much money?
I would say these people are going to cost $1 million over the next few years.
Mm-hmm. You can get the money.
Well, I think that we're...
What I mean is, you can get $1 million. If you can get it in cash, I know where it can be gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not easy, but it can be done. But the question is, who the hell would handle it?
That's right.
Any idea about that?
Well, I would think that would be something that Mitchell ought to be charged with.
I would think so, too.
And get some pros to help him.
Let me say, there shouldn't be a lot of people running around getting money.
Well, he's got one person doing it, who I'm not sure is... You've got Fred LaRue doing it. Now, Fred started out going out trying to solicit money from all kinds of people, and I've learned about that, and I said, my God, it's just awful. Don't do it. People are going to ask what the money's for. He's apparently talked to Tom Pappas. And Pappas has agreed to come up with a sizable amount, I gather, from that.
Well, you need
that's right.
You want to put that through? Would you put that through? I'm just thinking out loud here at the moment. Would you put that through the Cuban committee?
No.
$100. It's going to be it's loads of cash money. So how better comes out are you going to handle it? It's the Cuban committee of obstruction of justice.
Well, they've got a priest. They got a priest now.
Would you like to put? Would that give a little bit of cover?
That would give some for the Cubans and possibly Hunt.
Yeah.
Then you've got Liddy, and McCord is not accepting any money, so he's not a bought man right now.
Okay.
All right. Let me continue a little bit here now. When I say this is a growing cancer, I say it for reasons like this. Buddy Krogh, in his testimony before the grand jury, was forced to perjure himself. It's haunted by it. Bud said, I haven't had a pleasant day on the job. He said, I have not had a pleasant day on my job. He talked to Karen, he said, do these days. I told my wife all about this. The curtain may ring down one of these days. And I may have to face the music, which I'm perfectly willing to do.
What did he perjure himself on again?
Did he know the Cubans? He did.
He said he did.
That's right. They didn't press him hard.
He might be able to, I'm just trying to think, perjure himself a hard rap to prove, you could say, right?
Well, so that's one perjury. Now, Mitchell and Magruder are potential perjuries. There's always the possibility of any one of these individuals blowing. Hunt, Liddy's in jail right now. He's serving his, trying to get a good time right now. I think Liddy is probably, in his own bizarre way, the strongest of all of them. So there's that possibility.
Well, your major gun to keep under control is Hunt.
That's right.
I think. Because he knows
so much. He knows so much, right. He could sink Coulson. Apparently he is quite distressed with Coulson. He thinks Coulson has abandoned him. Coulson was to meet with him when he was out there. After Nally's left the White House, he met with him through his lawyer. Hunt raised the question he wanted money. Coulson's lawyer told him that Coulson wasn't doing anything with money, and Hunt took offense to that immediately, that Coulson had abandoned him. I've talked to Mitchell about that last night,
talking about
right. Well, I think the White House, no one has done anything for
Vesco. Not the prosecutor.
No. The,
what Earth Moon is that way have a computer there?
For that grand jury? Yes, he could very well.
We could have known that there.
Not really. Criminal charge.
Criminal charge, yeah, those charges might be good.
Right, that's a little different. I think I would be dynamite to defend against that. That's pretty much the overall picture, and probably the most troublesome thing. Well, the Segretti thing, let's get down to that. I think Bob has indicated to me he told you a lot of it. He indeed did authorize it. He didn't authorize anything like ultimately evolve. He was aware of it. He was aware that Chapin and Strawn were looking for somebody. Again, this is one that it is potential that Dwight J. Chapin could have a felony charge against him in this. Because he's a felony. Because he has to disprove a negative. The negative is that he didn't control and direct Segretti.
When the felony being perjury again?
No, the felony, this in essence, is being a potential use of one of the civil rights statutes for anybody who interferes with a candidate for national office, interferes with their campaign in any way.
Why is it under civil rights that you pick up any of these clowns that are demonstrating against us now?
Well, I've argued that they use that for that very purpose.
Really?
Yes, I have. And
those were interfering with the campaign.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But they read it, and I think I'm not as concerned about that because it's so bad the way it's been put out on the PR side, and I think you'll actually end up on the PR side.
What really bothers me is that this growing situation, as I say, is growing because of the continued need to provide support for the Watergate people who are going to hold us up for everything they've got, and the need for some people to perjure themselves as they go down the road here. If this thing ever blows, and we're in a cover-up situation, I think it'll be extremely damaging to you and the
concept of administration of justice.
That's right. That's what really troubles me. For example, what happens if it starts breaking and they do find a criminal case against a Haldeman, a Dean, a Mitchell, an Ehrlichman? That is...
Well, we come down to that. We cannot maybe... We have to shed it from the container.
That's right. I'm coming down to the way I really think is that Bob and John Mitchell and I should sit down and spend a day or however long to figure out, one, how this can be carved away from you so it does not damage you or the presidency. Because it just can't. And it's not something, you're not involved in it, and it's something you should
answer.
I know, sir, it is. What I can tell from our conversations is, you know, these are things that you have no knowledge of.
You certainly know the whole thing.
But
let me say, I'm keenly aware of the fact that Colson and all and so forth are doing their best to get information and so forth and so on, but they all do very well and they're supposed to comply with the law.
That's right.
And the trigger man is close on this.
Well, no, he was just in the chain. He helped push the thing.
Oh, well, except we got information on what the price would be in a while, but I know why. That was the time of ITT. He was trying to get something going there because ITT, they're bugging us. I mean, they're giving us that
line. Well, I know he used
Hunt. I knew about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it. I knew that there was something going on there, but I didn't know it was funny.
Right. What really troubles me is, you know, one, will this thing not break someday? And the whole thing, the domino situation. You know, I think if it starts crumbling, fingers will be pointing, and Bob will be accused of things he's never heard of, and he'll have to disprove it, and it'll just get nasty, and it'll be a real bad situation. And the person that will be hurt by it most will be you in the presidency. And I just don't think...
First, because I have said that, you know, I'm supposed to check these things.
That's right.
So, but let's come back and go further. Sure. Yeah. But what if you're being John Johnson, you know pretty well what they all say, what are your feelings about the options?
I am not confident that we can ride through this. I think there are soft spots.
You used to be.
I felt comfortable for this reason. I've noticed of recent, since the publicity has increased on the thing again with the Gray hearings, that everybody is now starting to watch after their own behind. Everyone's pulling in. They're getting their own counsel. More counsel are getting involved. How do I protect my ass? They're scared, and that's just, you know, that's bad. We were able to hold it for a long time. Another thing is, you know, my facility now to deal with the multitude of people I've been dealing with has been hampered because of Gray blowing me up into the front page.
You're covered, Lloyd.
That's right. And it was
and we are. So when you really come down to this one, you know what you do. Let's suppose that you and all of them are very special. Say, we can't hold this one.
One way to do it is for you to tell the Attorney General that you have finally, you know, really this is the first time you're getting all the pieces together.
Ask another grand jury.
The way it should be done, though, is a way that, for example, I think that we could avoid criminal liability for countless people, and the ones that did get it, it could be minimal. Well, I think just by thinking it all through first as to how, you know, some people could be granted immunity. Yeah. To come forward. But some people are going to have to go to jail. That's the long and short of it also.
Ooh, sorry about that.
All right. I think I could, for one.
You go to jail?
That's right.
Oh, hell no. I can't see how you can. I can't see how the legal case can be made against you, which I got to
tell. It'd be tough, but, you know, I can see people pointing fingers, you know, to get out of their own, put me in the impossible position, just really doing anything.
Oh, let's say I am not expect you're here, but just looking at it from a cold news standpoint, you are a lawyer, you are a counsel, you were doing this counsel, and you were not prepared. You mean what you go to jail one day?
The obstruction of justice. That's the only one that's bothered me.
Well,
I think that with proper coordination with the Department of Justice, Henry Peterson is the only man I know that's bright enough and knowledgeable enough in the criminal laws and the process that could really help us how this could be put together. So it's the maximum to carve it away with the minimum damage to individuals involved. No, I know he doesn't now. I'm talking about somebody who I have over the years grown to have enough faith in. He has to, in a very difficult situation, the head of the criminal division of the United States Department of Justice and the Oak
Well, I'm talking about your Department of Justice role. I don't see it.
I've been a conduit for information on taking care of people out there who were guilty of crimes.
Oh, you mean like the black man?
The black man, right.
Well, I wonder if that part of it can be. Seem to me that would be worthwhile.
expect to be out. And that may put you in a position that's just untenable at some point. You know, the Watergate hearing is just over. Hunt's now demanding clemency, or he's going to blow. And politically, it'd be impossible for you to do it, you know, after everyone knows. I'm not sure that you'll ever be able to deliver on the clemency. It may be just too hot.
You can't do it without the subject for election, that's for sure. But even then, your point is that you're even then, you can do it.
That's right. It may further involve you in a way you shouldn't be involved in.
No, it's wrong, that's for sure.
Well, what I mean, there have been some bad judgments made. There have been some necessary judgments made.
Before the
election, and in a way, there have been necessary ones, you know, before the election. There, you know, this was, to me, there was no way but to burden this second administration with something that is not going to go away.
No, it isn't.
It is not going to go away, sir.
Not going to go away. The idea that people are going to get tired of it and all that sort of thing.
Anything will spark it back into life. It's got to be.
Well, it's too much of the partisan interest of others to spark it back.
And it seems to me the only way to.
Well, so let's leave. But I don't think on the obstruction of justice thing. I think that. I don't know what I have to do that way.
Back to haunt. That's one of them. general alternative, the other is to go down to the road, just hunker down, fight at every corner, every turn, don't let people testify, cover it up, is what we're really talking about. Just keep it buried and just hope that we can do it. Hope that we make good decisions at the right time, keep our heads cool, we make the right moves, and just take the heat.
Probably the second line of attack. We can discuss this at the YD watch here too. Still would consider my scheme of having you read again just in very general terms and the leaders in very general terms. And maybe some very general statement with regard to my investigation. After question and basically a question of what they told you, not what you thought.
I can give a show that, you know, we can sell, you know, we can start here selling meat on our position. There's no
the problem that you have for these minefields down the road. I think the most difficult problem is are the guys that are going to get it. I think you're right about that. I agree. Now, and also the fact that we're not going to be able to get punished.
That's right. How long will they take you? How long will they sit there? I don't know. We don't know what they'll be sentenced to. There's always a theory here. It could be, you know, they haven't announced yet, but it's even higher than that, about 50 years. All
so ridiculous.
Oh, well, you know what's so incredible is the
fellows and people break a tear and so forth and get 2 years.
Well, the other
thing. No weapons, no results. What are they talking about?
The individuals who are charged with shooting John Stennis are on the street. They were given, you know, one was put out on his personal recognizance rather than bond. They got this fellow all stuck with $100,000 bonds. The same judge, Sirica, who had one guy who was charged with shooting a United States Senator out on the street.
Straight.
Yeah, it's just, it's phenomenal.
I don't want more there in this occasion.
No.
More
is definitely dealing with me has more bits and pieces. I've had to give him some of this. He's making judgments that,
well, the point here, if you get down to the PR, once you decide what you're going to do, you can let him know and so forth and so on. But it is the kind of thing. I think what really has to happen is for you to sit down with those three and for you to tell them exactly what you told me. I know it's taking about 35 minutes. He knows, John knows about everything, and also what all the potential criminal liabilities are,
obstruction of justice,
so forth and so on. And I think that's, and then we've got to see what the line is, whether the line is one of Chuck is a name dropper in one sense, but not in any sense. Well, I think he very carefully keeps the
he's very intentionally bringing the president in for the president's purpose.
He has the impression, well, apparently, you know, he was, as it turns out, pretty much the trigger man. It might be a well in the trigger man where he just called up and said, I'm sure to go and get that information. I mean, God was in the city line at that time.
This I figure was similar. This is a call to Magruder from Colson saying, take a cut day, Hunley, we're in his office.
In Colson's office,
and he called Magruder and said, let's take a cut day on this operation, let's get it going.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is Magruder to help with this.
Of course,
Chuck also told me that Hunley were in his office, he made a call.
Oh, okay.
So it was cooperated by the principal.
Not Woody ever told you?
No.
You ever talked to Woody?
I talked to Woody once right after the incident.
Sorry, but not. All right. The point is this. It's now time for the Mitchell's got to sit down and know where the hell this thing stands, too. You see, John's concerned, as you know, about the Bob Goodger, and I'm sure he worries me a great deal because it's a. That is why the Hunt problem is so serious. Because it's got nothing to do with the campaign. It has to do with the Ellsberg thing. I don't know what the hell. But why? Well, I was going to say, how do you keep that out? I don't know. Well, we can't keep it out of Hunt. If you see a point in here, point this guy that is,
Mike, you might put it on a national security grant basis, which is what he was. And yet say that, that this is not, you know, this was.
But that was CIA funds. Well, sure, national security. We had to get that information for national security grounds.
So then the question is, why didn't the CIA do it, or why didn't the FBI do it?
Because they were really. We had to do it on
because we were checking them.
They had to be trusted.
That's why, and then there was reason to question there.
Yeah, this is with the funny thing and everything coming out the whole thing.
I think we can probably get by on that.
I think on that, I think it's simple to say this is a national security investigation that was conducted, and the same with the drug deal. Kroger would say that, but Kroger, he's a big deal, he's a person, but he supposed it was a national security matter. That's why.
That's the way, but that's easy because he's convinced that he was doing it. He said there was treason about the country. It could have threatened the way the war was handled. And by God,
but I say that because it was a national security. I was not in a position to divulge it. Okay, that's going to go beyond that. We're together. But I do think now we can say, there is a time now that you don't want to talk to Mitchell, you don't want to talk to the rest. But John's right. There must be a four-way talk. You were predicting what's in the trust here. Got to get a decision on it. It's not something that, you see, you got two ways, basically. Oh, we're going to have two ways to go. You either decide that the whole goddamn thing is so full of problems or potential criminal liability, which is what we're concerned. We haven't done a damn about publicity. We have wrong that truth. We had to put the whole thing in on a lousy story for a month. Fine. But the fight is, I don't want to be criminal liable. That's the thing that I'm concerned about for members of the White House staff. He knows what he's got. Plus, he's plenty of money.
obviously the Confederate refused to get it. If that is the case, it was just that way, then the thing to do is get the thing all cracks out. If, for example, you say, well, we're not going to continue to drive there, let's say, frankly, cut our losses. That's just one way to do it. On the assumption that by continuing to cut our losses, we're not going to win, then in the end, we're going to be bled to death, and it's all going to come out anyway, and then you get the worst of both worlds. We're going to lose, and people are going to, and look back up, never going to look back and cover them. So that I can't do. Now, the other line, however, is if you take that line, that we're not going to continue to cut our losses, that means then we have to look square in the eye as to what the hell those losses are, and see which people can, so we can avoid criminal liability.
Right.
And that means you've got to keep it on you. I'm sorry for this guy. He meant to do it. I heard the instruction. Justice Center, we've got to keep it on the first one. We've got to keep it on the bottom, on the chin if possible. Strong. Right. And that's right. Right. Now, as a booter, you can. But that's the way you've got to get up there. John's name to mind is a river that she goes around to everybody. Well, that's my view. Yeah. I think Jeff, I don't think he wants to, and I think he even would try not to, but I don't think he's able not to.
I don't think it's strong enough in the very bottom.
Now, that's not another way to do it that bothers to that John who watches this. Sentencing judge, you guys know what I'm talking about. great jeopardy.
Let me tell you, if that is a problem, we can get the money, it's no problem in that. We can't provide the funds. The money can be provided, but you can provide the way you're delivering it, that's going to be done. See what you want. Mitchell said he came to the same.
Mitchell says that, well, Mitchell says that, you know, there's been an interesting thing, phenomena all the way along in this, is that there have been a lot of people having to pull oars, and not everybody pulls them all at the same time and the same way. Because they're developed self-interest.
What John's saying is everybody smiles at Dean and says, well, you better get something done about it.
That's right.
And Mitchell, we need Dean hanging out of none of us. Well, maybe we're doing the same thing.
That's right.
But let me say that I don't see how there's any way that you can have the White House or anybody presently in the White House involved in trying to gin up this money.
We're already deeply in that. That's the problem, Bob.
I thought you said that they won't play.
Well, in fact, when Kalmbach was
just a fool.
No, but when they ran out of that money, if you know, they came out of the 350 that was over here. And I had to explain what it was for before I could get the money. Now they cannot have
that. That was, in the first place, that was put back to the roof.
That's right.
Where it belonged. It wasn't all returned in a lump sum. It was put back in pieces.
That's right.
And that roof used it for this other purpose.
That's right.
Well, I didn't think. And the balance was all returned to the roof. As long as we don't have any receipt for that, it would have no improvement.
Self-interest over there.
And they want to close the room and take it at all.
That's right.
This is what you told me.
That's right. And then don't get mercy.
What ended up happening? Roof took it and what?
Well, it was sent back to them because we just couldn't continue piecemeal giving. You know, I have to get, every time they ask for it, I have to tell Bob I needed some or something like that. And then I would get Gordon Strong and go up to his safe and take it out and take it over to the room. This was just a forever operation.
And we had to take it all.
I understand.
So, we had been trying to get away to get that money back out of here anyway. And what this was supposed to be was loans. This was immediate cash need that was going to be replenished. And Mitchell was arguing you can't take the 350 back until it's all replenished. Isn't that right?
That's right. Well,
and then we had to replenish it, so we just gave it all back anyway.
I agree with you, Angelus.
I had a hell of a time proving it. That's one thing.
I just have a few examples. Now I have the money, $1 million, and so forth. Obviously, I think you can share it. No money is hard. There are ways that you can scrap it. But the point is, what would you do on that?
Let's look at the hard. I've seen very few, and it's been thus far the most difficult problem they have been. That's why these fellows have been on and off the reservation all the way along.
So the hard place is this. You're being the present time in the South of $1 million. I would just say to these fellows, I'm sorry, it's all on the blood of Tom Frank.
Well,
that's the way to do it. If you want to do a claim, that's the way to do it. It's the way you can live with. Because the problem with the blackmail, and that's the thing we kept raising with you when you said there's a money problem and we need 20,000 or 100,000 or something, was, yeah, that's what you need today. But what do you need tomorrow and next year and 5 years?
How long? Well, I would just get us through November 7th, so
it's right. And that's when we had to get through November 7th. There's no question.
We've been so busy on the other containment. Back to the practice.
must have something.
Come back and have a sentence.
Yeah. The news on 350 that we moved out was all we saved because they were afraid to, because of this spending. That's the trouble. We're so goddamn square that we should climb.
Well, could I suggest that this move, let me go back around.
But my point is, do you ever have any choice on our president?
No matter. Hillary or somebody else. So that if a hunt blows, so what's new? You know, it's already been told to a grand jury, and they found no criminal liability, and they investigated it in full. We're sorry, fella. We don't. It doesn't concern us. That's right. Well, Hunt will go to jail for that too. He's got to understand that.
That's a point too. I don't think that I would throw that out. I think I would limit it. I don't think that you could go in there and got that thing done. I know
that's
some things in the national security area. Yeah, that's true. We already said that. Anyway, I mean, we let you out of it, but not. But here's the final time. So you go there. Let's go to the other stuff. The other thing was to decide, oh, well, we will have the grand jury first. It won't do any good. It won't be believed. And then you'll have two things to look at, the grand jury and the other. At least the grand jury. conducted an investigation of members of the New Zealand Federal Dean. I thought of that inspection council to make sure
that is one possibility.
Yeah, one of the basis that the dean has now become a principal rather than charged to the attorney.
And I could recommend that to
be a recommend and you could recommend it for the just to come over. And the not say you explain the lead anyway. I say no, we want you to get it. We want the violence to which it appears we want you to get the bottom of the call in the grand jury and else. Correct. Well, you got to follow up to see what the findings because you're in the bottom of the grand jury. Second, you've got to get extra time here for you. And by tomorrow, I'm going to do that tonight.